Hello again, everyone, wherever you may be, and welcome to the 165th edition of KHOI Community Radio's Capital Week, your window on the world of Iowa politics, where we explore and analyze who's been making news in and around the state capital, what that news is, and what it all means. We are glad you're with us. I'm Dennis Hart, joined as always by my longtime partner in politics, Laura Bellin of the blog site Bleeding Heartland. Welcome again, Laura.
Good to be here, Dennis.
Laura, the legislature's second final deadline came and went last week, and we have plenty to discuss about bills that made it through that funnel and are still alive in the legislature, and those that did not make it. And we're going to get to all that. But first, what happened today in the state Senate? And it was big. Debate took place about changing AEAs, Area Education Agencies, a topic that has become top of mind in this legislative session. Laura, you were there. What happened?
Well, this is, as you said, has become one of the biggest issues in the session. Governor Kim Reynolds came out early on with a very ambitious plan to dismantle the 50-year-old Area Education Agency structure and really centralize control over special education services in the state agency, the Department of Education. The Iowa House did not advance the governor's plan. They passed a scaleback bill a couple of weeks ago, and the Senate today voted on a plan that is much closer to what the governor wanted. It's not exactly what the governor wanted, but it would, within over the next year, year and a half, it would change from, instead of school districts being required to acquire special education services through their area education agencies, it would become a fee-for-service system. The school districts would have control over the money, and they would be able to decide whether to contract with the AEAs or whether to take that somewhere else. And the other major difference between the Senate and the House approach is that the Senate kept a teacher pay increase as part of their AEA bill. The House separated those issues and with an overwhelming majority passed a teacher pay increase and then separately ran the AEA policy.
Laura, the final vote this afternoon was 28 to 22 in favor, and that meant six Republicans voted against it.
And that was very unusual. In the upper chamber, we see a lot of party line votes. Occasionally, one Republican votes against the majority. It is very unusual to see even two, let alone six Republican senators. And they were really from all over the map. It wasn't a case of moderates versus conservatives. They do largely represent rural areas. And I would surmise that they've been hearing a lot from their constituents and stakeholders in their districts that they did not want such an aggressive approach to dismantle the AEA structure.
This one goes to the House now. What do you think might happen there?
I really don't know. The House AEA bill, as I said, it was much less ambitious than this. It kept special education services within the AEAs, and that only got 53 votes to pass. Nine Republicans in the House voted against even that version. I do not think there are 51 votes for what the Senate just did today. Now, I do think this will become part of a larger negotiation, and probably that's partly why the teacher pay is included in the Senate bill. I think that there may be some horse trading related to other policies in the mix as well. But right now, I would say that what we just saw come out of the Senate would struggle to get 51 votes in the House. The Democrats will definitely all vote against it.
All right. You have the latest news from Laura Bellin, who was there this afternoon. Now let's get to what happened last week. Oh, gosh, a lot happened last week. The second final deadline came and went. What that meant was most bills had to have passed through one chamber and a committee of the other chamber, except for bills on spending, tax, government oversight components. We cannot possibly go over every bill that lived and died, but we're going to do our very best in the next few minutes to hit the big ones. Here are the bills now, Laura. We'll go down the list that are still alive. State supplemental aid.
Well, it's very unusual that we're even talking about state supplemental aid in mid-March because by Iowa law, the legislature is supposed to set a level of increase of state funding for public schools by 30 days after the beginning of the session. So really, this should have all been taken care of in early February. But the House approved a bill that would increase state per pupil funding for public schools by 3%. The Senate has not passed anything, and the governor had proposed 2.5%. It's really not clear. It does seem like the Senate is probably closer to where the governor is. Certainly, if the Senate agreed with the House bill, they could have approved it months or weeks ago. So we're not sure what's going to happen there. But at some point, the legislature will certainly approve a funding level for public schools.
Also, a bill that is still alive, one on fetal development videos.
So this one used to be known as the Baby Olivia video bill, and we're going to have to change that name because the Senate Education Committee amended the bill to remove the specific reference to the Meet Baby Olivia video. It does talk about how schools would be required to show students in 7th through 12th grades a video, something describing in great detail fetal development. This passed on a party line vote in the Iowa Senate, or in the Senate Education Committee, rather.
A teacher pay bill still alive.
Yes, and again, this is one where the House Republican bill, they separated it from the AEAs. They included raises not only for classroom teachers, but also for school support staff, paraeducators, for instance. The Senate bill, it is a much less generous starting pay increase. They would raise the minimum salary for starting teachers. It wouldn't have a minimum for teachers with 12 years of experience, the way the governor's initial proposal did. But yes, something probably will happen on teacher pay this year.
We are talking about bills that are still alive in the state legislature. Another one is a curriculum review bill.
Yes, this one would require the State Department of Education to do a comprehensive review of high school graduation standards. Something that was similar was done less than 10 years ago.
Another bill still alive, one on grooming and teacher discipline.
Yeah, so this is something that went through a little bit of change through the committee structure. But yes, there will be school districts would have to report to the Board of Educational Examiners if they take disciplinary action against somebody for grooming, which is defined as certain types of inappropriate behavior with a student.
Another bill still alive, one that allegedly would improve literacy.
This was one of the governor's priorities that it hasn't gotten through. It hasn't come to a vote on the floor of either chamber, but yes, it is still alive.
Here's another one that involves extracurricular activities open to private school students.
Yeah, so the Senate Education Committee, when they considered this, Democrats offered an amendment and they said, well, we shouldn't private schools be open, shouldn't they open their extracurricular activities to public school students if the public school doesn't offer that? And that was rejected by the majority party. But in general, I think there's broad support for this idea.
Another one still on the board, one arming school staff.
Yes, this is one that Republicans in both chambers seem to want. Technically, it is already legal for school districts to decide to allow school staff to be armed. The problem is that the two school districts that tried to do this already, Spirit Lake and Cherokee, they had to drop those policies because their insurance carrier threatened to drop them. So part of this bill would provide some kind of state grant or funding to support training of armed staff. But the more important component of this bill would provide some immunity from prosecution for school districts and school staff. And the hope is that then insurance companies wouldn't nix these kind of policies.
Also still alive, one that would ban local guaranteed income programs.
This is really targeting Polk County. There is a program called Uplift that is a public-private partnership using some local funds, some private funds, and some federal American Rescue Plan funds. This would allow that pilot project to continue, but it would not allow any other local government in Iowa to set up any kind of program where people could get a certain amount of money each month without a work requirement.
And yet another bill still alive, one involving mental health and substance abuse.
So this is again part of one of the governor's proposed bills that would really change the regional structure for substance abuse treatment as well as mental health. This is a very complex bill, and I'm sure that something will get passed, but it seems like the stakeholders had a few concerns with the way the bill is structured now, but it is alive.
And another one involves food labeling.
Is this one? So the Senate, when the Senate looked at this bill, they took out some controversial provisions and they left it as something that would just say if your product has meat substitutes, it has to be labeled that it's meat free or vegetarian or vegan, something like that. When it went through the House Ag Committee last week, they put back in some of the language the Senate had taken out, which would restrict research at Board of Regents universities on meat substitutes and would limit what school districts can buy in terms of meat free products. So this one may bounce back and forth between the chambers again.
All right, those are bills that are still alive. We can't talk about all of them. Those are some of them. Now, there's this thing called the unfinished business calendar. More than 100 bills have been placed here. We're not going to talk about all of them. Now, let's explain. It lets bills stay alive past the deadline if both chambers have designated them for further consideration, or it could be attached to another bill that remains eligible. I hope that's not too confusing for people, Laura.
So the unfinished business calendar, it's been around for a long time and it tends to give people headaches because most bills that are relegated to unfinished business do not come back and become law. However, any of them could be pulled up by Senate or House leadership at any time. And often this is a signal that this is something that they just want to keep in reserve. It could be for some of these bills that they may be involved in some horse trading. I mean, we see that last year we talked about on the show how the House agreed to pass a raw milk bill and the Senate agreed to pass a bill on midwife licensing. And so those kinds of things can happen. And so these unfinished business, I mean, some of them are quite important, like the AEA bill, and something on that will definitely happen. A few of the other ones, I'm just not sure how many of these will come off the board, but they are still eligible.
So let me reassure our listeners, we are not going over 100 bills. We're going to simplify it to maybe a half dozen. Let's start We talked about AEAs and we talked about literacy. Let's talk about the election law changes. This is a big one.
I think that this one has a good chance because these are companion bills in the House and Senate. And for whatever reason, they haven't been brought to the floor in either chamber. But these ones would restrict more restrictions on early voting, an earlier deadline for mailed-in absentee ballots, a total ban on drop boxes, new rules on envelopes for absentee ballots and voter ID numbers that would have to be on the absentee ballot envelopes. And also, which is something that's very important to some Republicans, a provision that would say that having a felony conviction doesn't disqualify somebody from being on the ballot for president.
Another bill that is on the unfinished business calendar involves boards and commissions.
This flows from another one of the governor's proposals. So, and the governor had a special board and commission review committee that met last summer and came up with a proposal to axe more than 100 boards and commissions. The Senate bill, again, is very close to what the governor recommended in terms of eliminating, I think, 111 commissions. The House took a different approach. Their bill would only eliminate just under 50. So somewhere there may be an agreement somewhere in the middle, but the House wants to preserve more state boards than the Senate.
And another bill on the unfinished business calendar, postpartum Medicaid.
So this one, the full Senate already approved this. It did not come up in committee in the House. There are some concerns. The House Speaker, Pat Grassley, told reporters that there were concerns about the price tag on this bill. This is the governor's proposal to reduce eligibility for Medicaid for pregnant and postpartum, but then increase the coverage for the people who are still qualified. So they would get, instead of 60 days postpartum, they would get a full 12 months postpartum. And the idea was for this to be revenue neutral. It would cost several million dollars, and that's the hangup. But the House Speaker said that it's very possible that they could find room for this in the Health and Human Services budget. So I do think this will end up as part of the budget.
And another bill on the calendar is a response to state Supreme Court's ruling last year and transmission lines.
And this is a complicated one, but the Iowa Supreme Court last year enjoined a law that was added as a provision at the last minute to the budget in 2020. And the state legislators were livid about this. But the problem is that I'm getting the impression that there is no broad agreement on this policy. I think that's the reason why it was attached as a last minute budget amendment in the first place, that it wasn't run as a standalone bill. So I am not sure whether this one will come off. It's came out of committee in both chambers. It has not been brought to the floor in either chamber, but leadership wanted to keep that one in reserve.
And another bill, hemp regulation.
This one is aimed at mostly hemp consumable drinks. They're not regulated now. It would set an age limit for purchasing drinks that contain THC components. And also it would set a limit for how much THC can be in the container as a whole. There's a lot of controversy over this because while it's aimed at these hemp consumable drinks, the most well-known one is called Climbing Kites, it also would affect some of the consumables that people can buy at CBD retailers. And some people say that some of these distributors would stop doing business in Iowa if this bill were passed.
And yet another bill that is still eligible would involve hands-free cell phones and traffic camera regulations.
Boy, they've been working on versions of this for years and years. The law enforcement and public safety community really want a ban on people holding their cell phones while they're driving, and that's never had enough support to get through the House and Senate. And this year, they're trying to pair that with a bill to ban traffic cameras. Of course, for a lot of legislators, that's a non-starter because traffic cameras are very important to law enforcement in a few cities. So I would say this one, I would put a lower probability of it getting to the governor's desk.
Okay, let's take a brief breath here. We are trying to give you the most comprehensive look on radio of what's still alive and what's dying in the legislature, and that's coming up next. But first, I have to say, it's 14 after the hour if you're listening to us live. You are in tune with KHOI Radio's Capital Week, your front row seat for everything political going on in Iowa. Gosh, there's a lot of that. I'm Dennis Hart with Laura Bellin. We are now in our fourth year of being here in this time slot to talk politics with an Iowa flavor. And now, this program is also available as a podcast. You got it. Just search for KHOI's Capital Week on your favorite platform, be it Apple or Google or Amazon Music or Spotify. And there we are again. Look for KHOI's Capital Week. Okay, let's take a breath as we did and now talk about bills that are dead at the legislature. Dead, gone, goodbye. We have a lot. Here we go. One is a bill that would have increased the sentences for anyone causing the death of an unborn person.
First, I want to say that when bills are dead at the legislature, you can never know that 100% until they've adjourned for the year, because sometimes bills that appear to be dead do come back as amendments to other legislation that's alive. However, this one I think is truly dead. This is the bill that the Iowa House approved in early March that would say that instead of the existing crime of non-consensual terminating a human pregnancy, they would change that to causing the death of an unborn person. And that unborn person would be defined, as you said, as at beginning at fertilization. There are a lot of concerns that this could lead to problems with in vitro fertilization. And that was what Democrats argued during the House debate. They didn't carry the day in the House, but the Senate Judiciary Committee decided not to take up this bill because of its possible implications for IVF. And I just want to add an irony here is that 5 years ago in 2019, the Iowa Senate approved a bill that was almost verbatim the same as this bill. It went over to the House and didn't advance in committee. But this is something that most of the Republican senators, including the current chair of the Judiciary Committee, who opted not to advance this bill last week, he already voted for almost an identical bill 5 years ago.
So you heard Laura say this bill is truly dead as opposed to just regular dead.
Right.
The next bill that is dead, Laura's going to tell us if it's truly or regular, defining male and female in the Iowa code.
Well, this is what something the governor asked for. It would allow us more separate accommodations. It was perceived to be very discriminatory toward transgender Iowans. It would define man and woman, mother and father, and other related terms in a way that would exclude transgender people. And it would have, the initial draft would have required transgender people on their driver's license to display their sex assigned at birth as well as their current sex designation. Now, the House committee advanced this bill in time for the first funnel. The whole House didn't take it up. The House Speaker Pat Grassley indicated that there really wasn't any consensus in his caucus on this bill. I would say that if the governor really goes to the mat and demands that they pass this, maybe some version of something could get added to another bill. But she really seems to be focusing her attention on the AEA issue. So I do not think that there's very much chance of this becoming law.
Another bill that is allegedly dead, maybe truly dead, maybe not, would have let pharmacists dispense birth control. And this is a bill that the governor has wanted for years and she can't get it.
Well, she has asked for it. I mean, she's never really turned the screws on this bill the way she has on some of the bills that are her top priorities. The Iowa Senate has approved versions of this. So this would allow people to obtain hormonal birth control without a prescription. They would have to get it from a pharmacist in their area. And there are just a lot of issues in House Republicans. And when House Republicans, just a number of them, don't support this bill. Now, I will say that House Speaker Pat Grassley, he said the reason why it hasn't been brought to the floor is they don't have consensus in their caucus. If he brought it to the floor, it would easily pass because the House Democrats, the 36 of them, would vote for it. And there are certainly enough Republicans to put it over 50. But the leadership strategy of the House Republicans is not to bring a bill to the floor unless it has 51 Republican votes, which this one does not.
Another bill that is dead, one that would involve child support at pregnancy.
And this was the one we talked about a couple of weeks ago. They pulled this in the middle of the House debate after Democrats pointed out that some of the wording of the bill suggested that a man might be able to go and get a court order to force an invasive and risky paternity test on a woman while she was still pregnant. So this one, I'm pretty confident, is not coming back.
Okay, another one, and this we've talked about a lot, would have allowed state agencies to hire outside certified public accountants to conduct audits instead of the state auditor, and this one died.
I was a little surprised by this, but because the Senate passed this bill along party lines in early February, and I thought the House would take it up. It was the latest attack on state auditor Rob Sand, of course, the only Democratic statewide elected official. But this ran into a lot of trouble in the House State Government Committee. They learned that there probably aren't CPA firms within the state of Iowa that could do this kind of work. Also, the fiscal note showed that this would be very expensive for agencies. And it was really the fiscal impact was the reason why this didn't come before the House State Government Committee.
And here are some bills that died involving education. This one involving citizenship proof required for in-state tuition. It's dead.
Yeah, the Board of Regents and community colleges were very against this bill. They said they just don't have the administrative structure to check everyone's citizenship status. Not everyone has a copy of their birth certificate, for instance, and it's just not the way they've done things. They've always been set up so that if you graduated from an Iowa high school, you're presumed to qualify for in-state tuition, and it looks like that's going to remain the policy.
Another bill that died would have capped tuition and frozen it for the first 4 years of an undergrad's enrollment at a state university in Iowa.
Right. And this was something, there were a couple of different versions of this one, but yeah, both of them are dead now.
And one that would have involved gender neutral terms in world language classes.
Yeah, this one got out of the House Education Committee before the first funnel, but I think there were some questions about whether the problem that this bill purports to solve even exists. It never came to the floor in the House.
Another bill that died would have involved eligibility for public assistance.
Well, this one, I'm not sure that this one is truly dead because House Speaker Pat Grassley, this was one of the key immigration related bills. This would say that the Department of Health and Human Services would have to use a certain system to make sure that everybody who got public assistance was a citizen. And also, there was a separate section of that bill that would have expanded the definition of smuggling. It would have made it a crime to transport undocumented immigrants. And there were that the full House passed this bill. The Senate didn't move it through committee, but House Speaker Pat Grassley indicated that they still want to have conversations on immigration. So I just wonder if some version of this could end up being attached to a different bill.
Well, we're getting close to the Easter season. Could this one be resurrected? We'll find out. Another bill that died, illegal immigration.
So this was kind of the flip side of that. What the idea would be that it would become a crime in Iowa to illegally enter the state of Iowa if you were if you had been denied entry to the United States. And some of the Democrats had said, look, this isn't even a constitutional bill because it's the immigration enforcement is the purview of the federal government.
Another one that died would have involved employer verification of legal residency to hire somebody.
And the Senate Republicans passed this one on the floor. So I was a little surprised that the House didn't advance it past the funnel. The business community, however, many of the business lobby groups are very against this. They say this federal E-Verify system, it's expensive, and there are a lot of false positives. And the punitive parts of that bill they thought could be very damaging for business. So in any case, I was surprised. I'm not sure, again, if the House wants to strike a deal on immigration, I wonder if some version of this could get attached to a different bill that made it through the funnel.
Another bill that died, perhaps surprisingly, involved the firefighters' benefits.
Wow, yeah, this one didn't even get a subcommittee hearing in the Senate after unanimously passing the House. This one would expand coverage as part of the firefighters' pension system for certain types of cancers. Of course, firefighters are much more vulnerable to cancer than the average citizen because of what they're exposed to in these protective suits they wear and also at the fire scenes. And the firefighters, they were really outraged that the Senate State Government Committee Chair Jason Schultz didn't convene a subcommittee on this. He said that he was trying to protect the taxpayer, that this could be too expensive. Although there wouldn't be any state funds associated with this. So I just don't know if the outrage meter is high enough. Could there be some kind of leadership bill or could there be a deal to attach this to another bill? I'm just not sure.
Another bill that perished would have involved the use of artificial intelligence in election materials.
Yeah, this one stemmed from some robocalls in New Hampshire that had somebody simulating Joe Biden's voice. And again, I don't really know the reasons for this one not advancing, but I think the perception was that this wasn't really a problem in Iowa yet.
Another bill that went south would have involved job search requirements.
And this one is already happening. The Iowa Workforce Development already is implementing these job search requirements. This would have put it in code rather than just as part of an administrative rule. And maybe they just thought that they don't need to do it since it's already the current administration policy.
Another one that went south involved jail booking photos.
Yeah, so this one would have made it much more difficult for people to use public records requests to get hold of jail booking photos. I don't know all of the reasons why this one wasn't advanced.
Two other bills that went south involved nursing homes, one involving nursing home inspections, another one granny cams.
And the nursing home inspections bill was one that the House Speaker mentioned that they still want to work on this. And also the bill that would cap salaries for temporary nurses. Many of them do work in nursing homes. Some work in hospitals. And it sounded to me like the House Republicans are going to want to do something related to nursing homes this year.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, a bill that would cap salaries for workforce nurses. We're talking nurses. That went away.
Yeah, the House had already approved that with a pretty large bipartisan majority, as well as the one on nursing home inspections. So I think that the House Republicans in these later negotiations before the end of session are going to want to get something. Again, some of this is material that could be added to an appropriations bill.
Just a couple of more we'll mention here, and these are bills that are dead. One was a pretty big deal. It would have involved union recertification.
Yeah, that one, the labor community, that was probably the top thing that they were worried about that would have made it easier for public employers to just cancel these recertification elections, and that would have been very difficult. The unions would have had to go to court to fight that. It would have been very expensive, time-consuming process. So that one is not advancing this year.
And one more we can mention would have involved requiring the State Transportation Commission to prioritize expanding Highway 30 to four lanes. Sorry, went
Yeah.
south.
This one got almost 90 votes in the House. This was a very popular bipartisan bill, and I don't know why the Senate Transportation Committee just was not interested in advancing that one.
Okay, now let's talk briefly about some of the bills that passed both chambers. There were more than these, but we're going to talk just briefly about some of them. One, a religious freedom bill.
Yeah, and this, all of these are waiting for the governor's signature, and it's a little bit strange because many of them passed like 3 weeks ago now, and they still haven't been sent to the governor for her signature. So I'm not sure what's going on with that, but this is the bill that would make it easier for people to claim that they were discriminated against, or in some people argue that this would make it easier for people to discriminate against certain types of people by claiming that it's a matter of religious conscience for them.
And briefly, again, bills right now, these have passed the legislature, waiting for the governor to sign them. I'm just going to go down very quickly. One involving gender balance, another anti-swatting bill, and one of my favorites, increasing bestiality penalties, Laura.
Yeah, this one was unanimous in both chambers. So I'm sure it's going to be signed. I'm sure the governor is going to sign all of these bills when they eventually get to her desk, and I'm not sure what the holdup is.
All right, let's talk about what else happened in the legislature last week. Believe it or not, something else did. A bipartisan panel of lawmakers unanimously tossed out an ethics complaint against Republican House member Dean Fisher.
And what we've seen in general is that the House and Senate Ethics Committees almost always dismiss complaints against their members. This one was brought by Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement because last year, the school choice plan, it allowed private schools to get a lot of state funding for students. And so Dean Fisher, who's a member of the Iowa House and a supporter of this bill, he now is the founder and board president of an effort to create a new Christian school in his district. So the idea was that his school would benefit from the program and that was a conflict of interest. The way I understand the House ethics rules, to show that a conflict of interest is happening, you would have to show that he personally is profiting. And I think they didn't really explain their reasoning for dismissing the complaint, but I believe that that is probably why they dismissed the complaint, because he isn't personally pocketing money from it.
All right, and there was something that happened outside the state legislature last week that is a big deal. Iowa's revenue panel said on Friday the state is going to see less money flowing in this fiscal year, and there are reasons for that, and there are some consequences of that potentially.
So this is happening as the state is phasing in the tax cuts that were already approved in 2022, and even some that were approved in 2018 are still phasing in. And it's a really tricky business. I know someone who used to serve on the Revenue Estimating Conference. Even people who know a lot about the economy, it's very tricky to do. And they try to set this level for next year and then the year after that. And they had a lot, they there was no consensus on the conference of what they should do. But in any case, why this is important is that when the legislature is approving their budget, they can only spend up to 99% of the amount of revenues that are expected for the coming year. Now, the Republicans are not planning to spend anything close to 99%. They're probably going to spend close to about $9 billion. The revenue expected for next year is about $9.6 billion.
Okay, there were also a number of new Des Moines Register polls out last week from across the state. We're not going to go over all of them. In fact, very not going to go over them at all. Maybe next week. But an interesting thing happened last week in the U.S. House. We have to talk about this. It was a 352 to 65 bipartisan vote. The House voted in favor of a bill that would force TikTok to cut ties with its parent company. Here's the interesting deal. All four Iowa congressional Republicans voted in favor of that bill.
Yes, they did. And Ashley Hinson, in particular, who represents the 2nd District in Northeast Iowa, she's been a very outspoken on this issue. She serves on the House Select Committee related to the Chinese Communist Party. And she's been calling it a TikTok ban. Marionette Miller Meeks, who represents Southeast Iowa, she noted in her newsletter or her email newsletter this week, she said it's not a ban. It just is, it means that they have to sever ties with a Chinese controlled company. So we'll see. President Biden has said that he is willing to sign this bill. It hasn't gotten through the Senate yet, but I expect something very similar to this, if not this exact bill, will get through the Senate.
And there is as complete a coverage as you can get on radio about what happened in the legislature last week. Laura, we've already had the AEA thing in the Senate on this Monday. What are you looking forward to the rest of this week?
Well, the debate schedule in both chambers is a little bit light, but there are some bills that I'm keeping my eye on. I'm looking at, and this is something we'll talk about next week, some of the candidate filings, working on something about the legislators who do and do not face primary challengers. And it's just there are so many moving pieces, and there are even some bills that we didn't talk about today that I have my eye on.
Indeed. All right, we're out of time. We'll see you next week, Laura.
See you then, Dennis.
You have been listening, and thank you, to Capital Week on KHY Community Radio. A reminder that the views and opinions expressed here did not necessarily reflect the opinions of KHOI or its staff. Laura and I will be back here next week at the same time, and we'll be talking about everything interesting, important, or entertaining about politics, Iowa style. Until then, thank you so much for the privilege of your time. We appreciate it, and we truly value it. Between now and next time, let's all go ahead and have a safe, healthy, and happy week.